Okay. Today's daf Yud Dalid. We are on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. So we started yesterday discussing the 18 takanos that were made in the attic of Hananiah ben Chizkia when the students of Beis Shammai outnumbered the students of Beis Hillel. And we listed a bunch of them yesterday. I think we listed like 8 or 9 of them yesterday, which were basically from the Mishnah, right, based on the Mishnah in Zavim. So now the Gemara asks, in accordance with whom does that Mishnah go like? Meaning, granted, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai made the takanas, but based on whose shita? So the Gemara says, Man Tana, who is the author of the Mishnah that we mentioned? Because the Mishnah there said, Ha'ochel ochel rishon, ve'ha'ochel ochel sheni, misal pasli. The Mishnah had said that if you, an individual, eat something that's tummy, that's a rishon, if you a person eats something that's a rishon, or you a person eats something that is a sheni, you basically midorbanan become a sheni, and therefore you will passel truma, because truma can become tamei to a level of a shlishi, but tamuye lo mitmu, but you're not going to make truma tamei to the sense that this truma can now pass its tumah forward on another level, meaning it ends at truma. So you become a sheni to make truma into a shlishi. Who's that tana? So I'm a rabba bar bar chana, Rabbi Yeshua hi. It goes in accordance with the shita of Rabbi Yeshua. The tanan, you have a mishnah and taharos. Rabbi Lezer Omer. Rabbi Lezer said, a person ha'ochel ochel rishon. If you as an individual eat a rishon, you become a rishon. Ha'ochel ochel sheni. Ha'ochel ochel sheni. If you eat a sheni, you become a sheni. And ochel shlishi. Basically, you are what you eat. You eat a rishon, you become a rishon. You eat a sheni, you become a sheni. You eat a shlishi, you become a shlishi. Again, this is all midin derabban. So clearly, that's not our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said if you ate a rishon, you became a sheni. But so that's not our sheet of our Mishnah. But who is? It's Rabbi Yeshua Omer. Rabbi Yeshua says, ha'ochel ochel rishon. If you eat something that's a rishon, ve'u ochel sheni. If you eat a rishon or you eat a sheni, the din d'rabbanan is that you become a sheni, because that's our Mishnah. Now, shlishi, if you ate a shlishi, then you become sheni lakodesh, the ain't sheni l'truma. If you eat something that's on the level of shlishi, which I guess could be, well, we'll see what it is in a moment. So how does that work? Hey, go ahead. Right, we'll see in a moment. So either it's truma or something else. It can be, it was chul and shenasvel taras with truma. The idea is that it's somehow related to truma. They can come to it, that it became a shlishi. So if you ate that shlishi, so then from a truma perspective, it's done. It doesn't have any impact. So if you're calling Jeff and you have truma and you ate a shlishi, you don't have any impact on the truma that's sitting in front of your table. However, it does midrabanan bring you to a level of sheni lakodesh. Therefore, it would be if you ate a shlishi, you become a sheni legabe kodesh, and then you can pass on the tumor levels down on kodesh, on a korban. Right? So Yeshua Omer ha'ochel ochel rishon u ochel sheni shlishi, you become a sheni lekodesh ve'ain sheni letruma. So the Gemara asks, or the Gemara is basically your question: how do you have a case where the food is going to be shlishi? It's bichulin shenasu al taras truma. It's somebody who has, and in those days, I guess a lot of people would treat their chulin with a high level of kedusha, as Rashi points out. Chulin shenasu al taras truma, klomer be'ezil chulin achas ach atam motza ochel shlishi. Where can you find a case of chulin that can come to the level of shlishi? It's bechulin shenasu al charmas truma. The ilu chulin greater, like you pointed out, because it was just stam chulin, regular chulin, lo mishkachas bo shlishi. There is no concept of shlishi by non kodesh or non truma food. So this is all, again, all in the din d'rabbanan. So that we've proven that our Mishnah and the Takanas goes according to the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, who says that if you eat a Rishon, you become a Sheni. If you eat a Sheni, you become a Sheni. If you eat a Shlishi, then it splits. There's no impact on Truma, and it makes a Sheni for Kodesh. So now the Gemara is going to start going through these Takanos and try to explain the reasons behind these Takanos. Tosos throughout, which I don't know if I'll get to, but Tosos throughout points out and tries to shtim, I guess, the saying that these takanos took place at this time as opposed to other takanos throughout Shas, which seem to be similar and seem to have been taking place at other times. So We'll start. Ha'ochel ochel rishon ve'ochel ochel sheni. They become a sheni l'tume, tuma. So the Gemara says, my taima gazu be rabbanon tuma. What is the reason why the Chachamin goes there, this idea that if you ate a rishon or a sheni, because really a person, a human being, cannot contract tuma other from an av. So what is going on here that you're saying that if you become tame, or you can't come, right? Is that the rule? I'm trying to remember. Maybe it is the rule, maybe not. But the ha'ochel ochel rishon, the ochel ochel sheni, my time it goes to be rabbanon tuma. What's the reason why the chachamim were metame him to the point that he can passel truma? So the Gemara says, the zimnin de ochel ochel tumein. Every now and then, a person might eat ochel that is tame. Okay, so we're talking probably about a kohen here. The zimnin de ochel ochel tumein. He might eat ochel that's food that's tame. So he himself, on the rice level, doesn't become tame. But v'shakil mashkin de truma v'shadil apume. He'll take liquid truma and put it in his mouth. So now in his mouth, the tame food is mixing with the truma. So what you're doing now is you're making truma pasul, which is not allowed to do. Upasulahu. And we already have, all right, the halacha is that we have to keep the truma tahora. So therefore they made a gzera on all items. Because they didn't want you or the person to be taking food items, that putting it in his mouth, and then drinking truma. And then you're going to make the truma possible and violate the isser of keeping truma kodesh. Okay, that's what it says. Definitely, that's why they made exeris. It says Rashi second. He says, yeah, Rashi says, my time to gazer but adam ha'ochel shi'atame. He says, apostle to an apostle truma. Rashi says, v'atorah is hira l'truma. The Torah warned us on truma l'shomra b'tahara. You have to keep it tahor. The ksiv es mishmeris trumasi. Therefore, what they did is they said, if you eat anything tame, even though you yourself technically shouldn't be tame, we're going to create your tuma. So once you're in the status of tuma, you're going to be careful and not touch any truma. Okay? Yeah, okay. So the Gemara then says, the second gzeira. What's the second gzeira? The second gzeira was shose mashkin tameim. Someone who drinks anything that's tame, also, he becomes a sheni. So, my tama grazu be rabbanon tuma. Why did they make that gazer over there? So, the Gemara says, because zimin, sometimes, shasta mashkin tumeim, you're going to have drinks. You're going to drink something that's tame. So, really, the rice level has no impact on you. Right? You're going to drink mashkin tumeim. But, b'shakel ochlin shruma b'shadil apume, you're going to take food, truma food, and put it in his mouth. Upasalahu. And then you're going to make the truma puzzle, because even though that liquid in your mouth really shouldn't have an impact on you, it does have an impact on the truma, and you're going to be violating the idea of mishmeres trumasi. So the Gemara then says, "Hainuach." Well, that's the same zero. One's talking about you have a liquid in your mouth and then you put solid truma. One says you have food solid in your mouth and you put in your mouth liquid truma. It's the same idea. It's the same concept. Why do you need both? Why do you have listed as two? So Gemara says, "Hainuach." So Gemara says, "No, ma'u detema." What's more typical? It's more typical to eat something, I think, and eat something and wash it down with a drink. So you would think, right, Rashi says, Hashchichi, Rashi says, Sha'adam shosa imachilaso, that a person who puts something in his mouth to eat, solid, was going to follow it up with liqued. And Haloshchichi, She'ochelim shdiyasofso. So someone drinks and follows it up with food in his mouth while he's drinking. So since one was shriach, one was not shriach, you had to make both takanas. I don't know why. Why don't you just make the takana on the one that's not shriach, and then all of a sudden, then automatically you know it on the one that is shriach. But Kamashman, the Gemara says, that's why you need both, because even though, I guess because they're takana, I don't know, even though putting liquid in your mouth and then putting food in your mouth with the liquid is not so shriach, nevertheless, they made the takana there. But it's the same takana to protect the truma. They make you tame, so now you'll realize that you're tame and you'll come and you'll be careful not to come in contact with the truma, because if they didn't make you tame, you possibly existed that you would have put truma in your mouth while tame foods are in your mouth. Okay, that is the first two. This is going to go pretty quickly. Right, b'habar rosho v'rubo b'mayim she'uvim. Number three was somebody who basically, takes a bath. He puts the majority of his body into drawn water. And this idea is that he puts his body to draw in water on the day that he went to Mitarasaf, went to Mikvah. So my Tamak Rosal Rabbanan, what's the reason why they made this Gezeira, that you become a Sheni, and therefore that you won't, and you'll pass all Truma? So Mara says, Amar Rabibi, Amar Vasi, Shebetchila, originally, meaning code before the Gezeira, Hayutovim Bimei Ma'aras Mechunasin Usruchim. So they didn't have mikvahs like we did. They used to go into the caves, and in the caves there would be water, and it wasn't whatever. It became gross after a while. If you ever seen, mikvah later in the day, it's disgusting. So they used to have these. It would be disgusting. So they would go into these gross sruchim water, but how you nosed them aleim mayim shuvim, and then they would pour on themselves drawn water to basically clean them off from the srach, from the disgustingness of the water that they went to mikvah. So hitchilu v'asa'um keva. So they made the mayim shuvim keva. We'll see what that means. And once they made it keva, gozer aleim tuma. So they were gozer that they'll be tame. So what does it mean? So my keva, what does it mean keva? Amar Abaye, shahayu omrim, they would say, lo elu matarim, these are what mataras, meaning the mikvah water, the megasham in the cave, that's not what's making us pure. Ela elu ve'elu, but it's the combination of those and this. So that's, so Amar Abaye, who cares? So if they, people are saying a combination, they're still going into mikvah. So who cares what they're saying? They're at least they are going into mikvah. So why would that be a problem? So Amalei Abaye, my nafkamina hakat. Sorry, Amalei Rava, my nafkamina hakat tavli b'hanach. They're still going to mikvah. So who cares? So El Amar Rava, Rava says no, because eventually what happened? Shaya omrim lo elu mitarim el elu mitarim. People would say that it's not the mikvah water that's making us tahor. It's this mayim she'uvim afterwards that's making us tahor. And then they would stop going to the mikvah and only do the mayim, use the drawn water. So what the chachamim did is they said, if you go into a mikvah, if you go into drawn water, you automatically become a sheni, which shows, I guess once you have that law in the books, it shows that that's not making you tahor. So therefore, make sure when you need to become tahor, you go into the mikvah. Right? Rashi says, the first wide line, Ela elu matarim, the chashinan, and the chash was, Dilma ase libetule toras mikvah, they would be mevatel, they get rid of the concept of mikvah, v'tovu b'shuvim, and they would just go into mikvah into drawn water, meaning they would do using the wrong water, they would think that mayim shuvim is okay, but to armalacha ma'ayin ubor mikvah mayim, and therefore they made this takana. Okay, that's number three. Takana number four, v'tahor shenaflu al rosho rubo. Sorry, to v'tarish the naflu al rosh rubo shlosh lugin mayim shuvim. So the first case where you went into mayim shuvim, this case is now where you pour over you three lugim of mayim shuvim, basically a shower, right? So again, I think this is only if on the day that you went to mikvah. I mean, there is a shaila, mind the shaila, when a woman finishes going to mikvah, can she shower? Can she shower that night? So it's a machlokas aposkim of what she can do. I think. The Ramah says that she should not take a shower. A lot of Achronim ask, what's the Ramah talking about? The only reason why we have this is the Gabi Truma, not the Gabi, Heter Levaila. But some say that she should not take the shower right away, or she should at least touch her husband in one way or another before she takes a shower. And I think the Sfaradim don't have an issue with it at all, and they say that she can take a shower. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. Okay, so v'tarish enaflo arosh of rubo shlo shalugim mayim shuvim. My time at Grozav Rabbanan. Why they make this takana? Someone says Eloha lo kaimaha. Because if you don't make takana number four about having the water poured over you, then you're going to have a problem with takana number three which was not to go into a bath. And Rashi says ilav de gazer af ala tahor. Right, lo kaima gzeira haba achar tefila damer maishna hamehai. Because if you don't make the gzeira of the person who goes into the water, because case number four is just talking about a stama person, it's a person who just has the water fall over him. So if you don't make the gzeira over there, then people are going to say, well, what's the difference? If he's tahor when he goes into mayim she'uvim, so too in our case when I'm tamei, if I go into mayim she'uvim, I'm okay also. So therefore, takana number four is basically to support takana number three. Okay, that's. Yeah, go ahead. Can't hear you. No. A little bit. Try it. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, I hear. Don't know. I don't know. Was that before? Maybe is that before the Takana? After Takana? I don't know. I don't know. It's a good point. Okay. Okay, next one is Takana number 5 from that Mishnah is V'sefer, which means, I guess means like a Sefer Torah or some sort of scroll. The scrolls made your hand, made you, if you touched the scrolls, you became Tama to the point that you would passel Truma. So my Tama goes to be Rabban and Tuma. So why did the Chachamim make the Gezera that, the Tuma, if you touched, touched the Sefer? Again, the Sefer meaning a scroll. Some of them are Sharsha. What's the reason? Shebetchila hayu matznien esa ochlim to truma etzel Sefer Torah. They used to take the truma and they would hide it. I guess they wanted to hide it. They wanted to protect it. So they would put it next to the Sefer Torah. I guess maybe in the Aron Kodesh or some place where they thought was protected. So they put it next to the Sefer Torah. The Amron, they would say, Hai Kodesh, Vahai Kodesh. They want to be next to each other because they're both Kodesh. So let's put the one next to the other. Kevan de kachazu de ka'atsula de pseda. But what was ended up happening is the food attracted the mice. The mice would eat the food and then they would nibble on the Sefer Torah. And they would be losing the Svarim. So Kevan de kachazu de ka'atsula de pseda. So gazu be rabbon and tumah. So they made this idea, this concept that you, if you touch the Sefer, you become pasul for truma, showing that you have to keep a distance between the Svarim and the truma, so therefore people would stop storing the truma with the svarim. Like Rashi says, lidei pseida. It's like the fifth of the wide lines towards the bottom. He says achbarim mitsuyin eitzel ochlim. The mice were there. Umafsidin as a sefer, and then you would lose a sefer. Aval bechulin lo hutzuchul ligzor. By chulin they didn't have to make the gzeira. Why? Dibalav hachi lo hayu nostim chol eitzel kodesh, because they would never put, you know, stomp bread next to the Kodesh. They would only do it by putting the Truma there, by saying that the Kodesh should be next to the Kodesh. So by now saying that if you touch a Sefer, you become pasul to Truma, that knocks out this concept of High Kodesh for High Kodesh. Oh, wait a second, I'll become pasul to Truma if I touch a Sefer? I'm not putting my Truma next to the Sefer. Okay, so that was number, what was that? That was number 5? That was number 5. Okay. The Hayadayim, number 6, they said, Stam Yadayim, your hands are automatically Sheni Latuma. Why? Mipnesha Hayadayim Askanios Haim. Because your hands are busy. What does that mean? As Rashi says, Askanios Haim. So just Rashi brings 2 perushim, just do his first one. He says, Askanios Haim, Vinogim Bibsaro Ubimakam Tinofes, your hands touch dirty places. Ukinaila Chum Bekach. And it's not nice for the truma. If your hands are dirty and you touch something, you're going to ruin the truma. It's going to be gross for the truma. So they made the takana that your hands are automatically a shani. Therefore, you're going to have to wash your hands, which is the reason why we wash our hands today for bread. You're going to have to wash your hands before you deal with the truma to make sure that they are clean. So the Gemara then says, Nagmar takes a break, and it says, Tana brings a brisa. And the brisa is going to bring another takana. And it seems that this takana is redundant. So the Gemara is going to start asking which one came first. So Tana, we learned in a brisa, af yadayim habos machos sefer poslosas hatruma. We learned that hands that touch the sefer, they pasal hatruma. Right? The hands that touch the sefer pasal hatruma. Why? Mishum de Rabbi Parnach, because of Rabbi Parnach said, Amar Rabbi Parnach, that's the Gemara at the end of Megillah, Amar Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ha'ochei Sefer Torah arum, if you touch the Sefer Torah naked, meaning you touch the naked Sefer Torah, your hands actually touch the Sefer Torah, nikbar arum, you're buried naked. What does that mean, you're buried naked? No one's buried naked, you're buried in Trachuchrin. So he says, no, arum sakadaitach, you're really buried in Ella, Amar Rabbi Zera, arum below mitzvos, you're naked without any mitzvos. The Gemara says again, below mitzvos sakadaitach, you touch the Sefer Torah with your hand, and now you have no mitzvos, eleima arum below osa mitzvah. You're naked, you don't get the schar for the mitzvah that you're doing, because most likely you're either doing glila, or you are learning from the Sefer Torah, so you think you're getting a mitzvah, but in reality, what you're doing is wrong. You know, there's a time and a place for everything. You think you're getting, right, Tosfos points out, he says, below Ota Mitzvah, it's all the way in the bottom. If you're grabbing it to learn, Ein lo schar shall osalima. You don't get schar for that learning. The imishvila gololo, and if you're osek with it to roll it, Ein lo kalo schar al aglila. You don't get schar al aglila. Right? You think you're doing a mitzvah, but in reality, what you're doing is wrong. And therefore, you get no schar. So the Gemara then said, so that's why they made your hands, right? They made your hands to be, if your hands touch the Sefer Torah, they're telling you that your hands are now tameh, that to pass the truma to prevent you from touching the Sefer Torah without directly with your hands. But the Gemara asks, because we just had a takana that said stam yadayim are a sheni. So if my hands without touching anything are a sheni, why do I need this takana to tell me that if I touch a sefer Torah, my hands are a sheni? My hands are a sheni regardless. So Gemara says, hai gaza bereisha. Which takana went first? Ilema hai gaza bereisha. If they say that you made the takana on stam yadayim, that takana was made first, right? Kevan dahach gaza bereisha hasulamali. If I already made that gazera, what do I need the other gazeras for? My hands are automatically a sheni. I thought maybe you could be talking about a case where you washed your hands, and even though you washed your hands and they're clean, you still can't touch the Sefer Torah. But I don't know, the Gemara, right, Tosos points that, right? Tosos says, V'im tomar, v'hanafka mino lingoa b'sefer miyad achar tfila, v'lo heisich daito, v'afilu hachi yodav tumos mishum Rabbi Parnach. Maybe Rabbi Parnach's takana was that, again, like, you wash your hands, and you weren't Mesiach Das, so your hands are still Tahor, and then you went and you touched the Sefer Torah. Maybe that's what Rav Parnach, that Takana could have come later. So he says, V'yesh lo marto, says, D'mishum hai lo hayu gozrim. You went to make the Gezerah for that reason. D'milscha d'lo shchichahi, because that's not Davar Shechiyah, that's not something that's come up often. Sheyiga b'sefer miyad achar netila. It's not something that's so often that you could be touching a scroll right after you wash your hands. Okay. Right, so the Gemara says, Elahach gaza bereisha. He says the first gazera was that if your hands touch a sefer, they become tamei. The hadar, and then later on in this attic, they made the gazera on the stam yadayim that they're always going to be tahor tamei as a sheni. Okay. Then the Mishnah mentioned the tful yom. That a tful yom, right? Tful yom is somebody who goes to mikvah that day. And the sun hasn't set. He was Tameh, he went to mikvah, and the sun hasn't set. So if a Tful Yom touches something, that item becomes Tameh. We asked in the Mishnah, the Gemara asks here, Tful Yom d'oraisehu. The fact that a Tful Yom is Tameh is not a Takana d'Rabbanan. That's a Din d'oraisa. Right? Because of the Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Uba HaShemesh v'taher, the sun sets, and then it becomes Tameh. And then the Pasuk continues, V'achar yochol min ha-kachim kalach mahu. And only afterwards he can eat the kachim. But the Pasuk's clear that before sunset, he's not tahar. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says, you're right. Sami mikan tful yom. Remove tful yom. So don't remove tful yom from the Mishnah. The Mishnah there was just listing items that that create a sheni for Truma. So this would create a sheni for Truma on the Raisa level. Sami mikan means erase it from the list. This is not one of the 18 takanos. So we have to find another takana to add on because taking this away, we now only have 17. Okay. Next one. Okay, the Mishnah mentioned how ochlin shenitmu b'mashkem posim es atruma. Right, if food items became tamei from, if food items come in contact with tamei liquids, those food items would pasel truma. So the Gemara says, well, what type of liquid fell onto the food? Say b'mashkem demai. What type of liquid touched these food items, and therefore the food items became tamei? Ilema b'mashkem habayim machma sheretz. If you're talking about liquids that oozed out of a sheretz. Well, d'oraisa ninu, then those food items are tameh as a sheni midin d'oraisa. Why? Because food can accept tuma up to a sheni level. The sheretz is a rishon. Whatever comes out of the sheretz, the sheretz is an av, right? The sheretz is an av. So therefore, what comes out of the, let me say again. The sheretz is an av. What comes out of the sheretz is, comes out of the sheretz and touches the food. The food becomes a rishon. And then the food and the truma that it touches the rishon is a sheni midoraisa, right? Let me see that again. Let's go to Rashi. He says, let me read it again. B'mashkim demai ilim b'mashkim habayim machma sheretz. The liquid that comes out of a sheretz, I guess that they're a rishon. Deoraisa hu tiksiv, because the pasuk says, right? Full pasuk is mikola ochel asher yechol asher yavol amay yitma v'chol mashka asher yishteh. So we see from this pasuk that liquid that comes out, I guess it's a rishon, and therefore the food item is a sheni midoraisa, right? The food item is a sheni midoraisa. So why is that a takana? That's not a takana chachamim. That's a din doraisa. That if the food touched the liquid of a sheretz, then that food is a sheni midin doraisa. So it's not a takana that it passes the truma. It's a din doraisa that it passes the truma. So Ella, what are we talking about? B'mashkin habayim machmas yadayim. We're talking about liquids that came about that they touched stam yadayim. What liquids? So the liquid might have stam yadayim, which I haven't washed my hands yet. So those are considered tamei. Liquids that touch that hand then touch the food. So that shouldn't be tamei. Right, that shouldn't be tamei. Ugzera mishum bayim mashkim habayim ach masharis. But we make a gzera that any liquid that touched these food items make the food item tamei, atu liquids that come out from a sharis. So it's a dindor because we're concerned that people say, oh, this liquid doesn't make the meat tamei, and therefore I can touch truma. So too the liquid that comes out of a sharis isn't going to make me tamei. So therefore they made the kana that a liquid that touched the food, right, the liquid that comes, the liquid that touched the food is going to make the food into a sheni to pass all the truma. Again, this is all to protect the truma. Okay, so that's, I guess that was case number 7 or 8. Then the Mishnah says, "V'hakelim shenitmeu b'mashkim." We're talking about kelim, utensils that became tamei from liquids. So a liquid touches the kli, and then that kli, if it touches a truma, that truma is going to become pasul. So again, the Gemara says, "Kelim de'atmu b'mashkim demai." What type of liquids touch these kelims? Elim b'mashkim de'zav. If we're talking about liquids that fell out of a zav, for example, his spit or his urine. Well, those are an avatuma. So therefore, if those liquids touch the kalim, well, the kalim can accept tuma as a rishon. They become a rishon. So the raisa nihu, they become tamei midah raisa. The ksiv, because the pasuk says zichi yaroka zav b'tahor, and it says v'chabesu v'gadav rachas amayim tamei arev. The spittle of a zav makes you masha biyad tahor temesilach. Whatever is in the hands of a tahor that touches the liquid of a zav becomes tamei. You become a rishon. So that kli became a rishon if it got touched by the spit of a zav. So what liquids are we talking about here? It's b'mashkim habayim machma sheretz. You're talking about liquids that come from the sheretz, because the sheretz is an av. The liquid of a sheretz is a rishon. So that rishon would then pass over as a sheni. But kalim cannot become a sheni. I believe that's the rule, that kalim cannot become a sheni. Much I'm looking for you to nod in agreement. He doesn't know. Okay, so sheni, right? So kalim cannot become a sheni. So we're talking about liquids of a sheretz that touched the kli. Technically, it really shouldn't have any impact on the kli. We're saying, no, the kli is going to become a sheni, and if the kli comes in contact with truma, it's going to become, truma's going to be possible. And gzeira, mishum mashkim dezav. And the gzeira is that we're going to make a gzeira that a kli that touched sheretz liquid is tamei, up to a kli that touches zav liquids. Because someone's going to say, oh, if a sheretz liquid doesn't make the kli tamei, so the zav liquid doesn't make the kli tamei. But a zav liquid does make the kli tamei, because a zav liquid is an av, and the kli would become a rishon. All right. Next. Okay, so I think that was the list of the ones in the Mishnah. And now the Gemara is going to ask, just like historically, how this happened. Right, the Gemara is going to go back. We said before, right, there was a gezera on stam yadayim, right? Just your hands, without being washed, are one of the things that pass the truma. It's one of the 18 gezeros that were nigzar by Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the attic. So the Gemara asks, yadayim talmidei Shammai v'Hillel gazor? Really, that takana of stam yadayim took place at that time with the talmidim of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Shammai v'Hillel gazor. It was a generations earlier by Shammai and Hillel themselves. They made that takana. How do you know that? The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Yosi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreda, the Yosi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, right, from Pirkei Avos fame, Gazru Tuma al Eretz Amim. They made all the lands outside Eretz Yisrael, they had Tuma, right? There's a suffix that maybe they're going to be kvaring around for the Goyim, so they made it the Gzera of Tuma Eretz Amim, right? And the Al Kliz Chuchis, and also on glass. They made that glass can accept Tuma. Because I don't think the Torah mentions that glass can accept tumah. Now Shimon ben Shetach tiken ksuba leisha. He made the idea that they have to be a ksuba for the wife. The Gemara says, wait, so look at Rashi. What is ksuba leisha? Right, Rashi says it's towards the bottom of the second of the mid-sized lines, because ksuba is a much earlier takana than Shimon ben Shetach. The idea being, as Rashi points out, shekosiv lo kol nechasim achrayim leksuva. That there would be this lien of all a lien on all his property for the ksuva, because the fisha hayimiyachel ksuvasa v'kshayekoisale omer la tliq suvech v'tzi. What they used to do is when they would get married, they would set aside like one particular item and just put a lien on one item and say that is for the ksuva. So if he ever got angry, so it's already out of sight, out of mind. If he ever got angry, he would just divorce her, and there would be no financial impact because this thing was already set aside for that purpose. So what Shimon ben Shetach did is he said that all You can't put anything else aside. There's a lien on everything. So if the time comes for the divorce, now you have to deal with it. Now you've been suffering the loss at that moment, as opposed to having the loss suffered originally. As we reckon Rashi, he says, Tikkun Ksuba, Shekosev la kol nichse achroyim l'ksuva. All my nechassim are subjugated or have a lien for the ksuva. Lefisha hayim yachel l'ksuvasa. He used to set aside one thing, because I kovis aleh omer l'kli ksuva v'tzi. Okay, it's the end of Perek and Ksuva. The idea being, again, that he would make it more difficult for the husband to divorce the wife by having the fact that the lien was now on all his property, and there wasn't one particular item that was set aside from the outset that would be for Ksuva payment. So the Gemara says, okay. And then the Gemara writes to their continuing, Shammai the Hillel, Gazur Tumal Yadayim. That's our problem. The Brisa says that that Shammai and Hillel made tuma on your hands. So you see from that Brisa that Shammai and Hillel who made the takana of tuma on Stam Yadayim. So how do we say that it was Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that made the takana? Which one was it? So the Gemara says v'chi tema. Maybe you'll say that when it says Shammai v'Hillel in this Brisa, it means Shammai v'Siyoso. The Hillel v'Siyoso means Shammai and his talmidim, and Hillel and his talmidim can't be. V'ha Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Shmuel, Shmona Asar Davar Gazru, uveshmona Asar Nechaku. They made the Gzeira on 18 items, and we know that there was a machlokas about these 18 items. There was a dispute about these 18 items. So these things that are being discussed in this, in our Mishnah, are things that were subject to a machlokas. But we know V'ilu Hillel V'Shamai, Lo Nechaku Ela V'Shlosha Mekomos. Right, the Amar Rahuna b'shlosh makomos nechlu v'sulo. They only had 3 machlokos. We'll see later on that maybe a few more, but they didn't have 18 machlokos. Meaning, so it can't be that the idea of Stam Yadayim was a machlokos by Shammai and Hillel. According to what we're saying now, is we're going to say that the takana was made by Shammai and Hillel and their talmidim. At the time, they were in the attic, but Shammai and Hillel never argued on this. The previous brisa says that Shammai and Hillel made the takana together, so it's not part of the machlokos. So that can't, it can't be that you can't say that our Mishnah and the Brisa are saying the same thing, because it can't, that the takana had to be at the times of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It could have been Shammai and Hillel couldn't have been there, because if they were there, they wouldn't have argued about this, because they only argued on 3 places. So the Gemara says, "V'chiz tema de asu inhu." Well, maybe you say like this. Maybe there were stages in the takana. Maybe stage 1 was that Shammai and Hillel said that your hands are become tame to the point that if you touch truma, you have to just leave the truma by itself and let it rot and then get rid of it, right? V'chi tema to asu inu, Shammai and Hillel came, the gazer litlos, that just that you could be tole, you have to tole the truma, but asu tamidayu, and then the talmidim came, the gazer lisrof, and they made a gazer, they have to even have to burn it. That can't be, but Amar Ilfa, because Ilfa already said, Yadayim Tchilis Gzeiros L'Sreifa. The initial takana, when it came to Yadayim, was that you had to burn the Truma. So there wasn't, they didn't come in stages of first being told it and then burning it. The initial takana was burning it. So it can't, that can't be stages that Shammai and Hillel did stage A and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel did stage B. There was no stage A and stage B. There was only one stage, and the initial stage was to burn it. So Ella, so what does Gemara say? Asu Inu, originally Shammai and Hillel did make the takana. With Gazor v'lo kiblu minayu. They made this gzera that Stam Yadayim are Sheni. They made this gzera in their generation, but v'lo kiblu minayu. But the nation didn't accept it, right? It was, I guess, takana shirov tzibor yochol amavo. It wasn't accepted. But the Asu Talmidayu, and then the Talmidim came like a generation or so later, and they instituted the takana again, Gazer v'kiblu minayim, and then everybody accepted it. So yes, Shammai and Hillel made the takana, wasn't accepted. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the attic made the takana again, and it was accepted. Like Martin asks, wait a second, Vakati, Shlomo Gazer, wasn't Shlomo the one who made the takana on Stam Yadayim? The Amar of Yehuda, Amar, and that was a lot earlier, the Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, B'shah Shatikin Shlomo Eruvin. At the time when Shlomo HaMelech made the takana of Erevin, right? The takana there was that even from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, you shouldn't be moving. I think that's what it is. We have the last Rashi. Rashi says, Erevin, Osnayim Otsho Shabbos, Sha'osel Hotchim Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah Veru, Afapish Hashanah Rosh Hashanah Yachid. You couldn't go from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So Shlomo makes that takana. And he makes the takana of Netilas Yadayim, that you have to wash your hands, because we're going to say that Stam Yadayim are Tamei, right? So Yatza Baskol, the Amra, Baskol came out to Shlomo from Shemayim and said, Bini, Im Chacham Libech, Yismach Libi Gamani, you're so wise, you're making me smile, you're making me happy, Chacham Bini Vismach Libi, Vashiva Chorfi Davar, he got praised. Anyway, the idea was that you see from this brisa that Shlomo Melech made the takana that you had to wash your hands. So don't tell me Shammai and Hillel made the Takana, or Beis Shammai and Hillel made the Takana. It was made at the times of Shlomo Melech. So the Gemara says, oh no. Also Shlomo begazel kachim. Shlomo made the Takana that your hands become tamei to pasel kachim. Also inu, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel came begazer af l'truma. They said even that your hands now become subject to being tamei even for Truma. So Shlomo Melech made the takana for your hands, legabe kachim, and Shammai and Hillel, or Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel made the takana legabe for hands, legabe truma. Okay, so I guess we'll stop here by the gufa. So Menachem, what's the story? What are we going to do? Are we going to do something? You're going to do something tomorrow for both days for Shabbos? I don't know. What do the guys want? Okay. Yeah, the rabbi is something at 4:30, which I want to go listen to. Okay. It's late. It's very late. Oh, it's very late.